the presence of the Lord. And I pray that you won't take these things for granted, that God has created members in the body of Christ, members one of another. And as the theme has been carried through this morning, there's something of a blessing in unity, where we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's something of unity. There's something of fellowship. There's something of a refreshing in vision. And where there is no clear vision, the people perish. Where there's no understanding of our purpose and direction, we drift and stray. Well, I pray today that we would have a direction and vision, that we would understand who we are, that we would understand our purpose in the body of Christ, and that we'd be blessed together in fellowship and in unity. God had really put strong on my heart some very hard truths, very simple words. You'll be happy to hear my words, very heart-piercing nonetheless. The question of the title of this message is, do you have a teachable spirit? Everybody knows those words, right? That's likable. Do you have a teachable spirit? When people hear that, they smile. They're like, yeah, sure. Depends on who's teaching, right? Right? Depends on who's teaching. And it's a challenge in life and in relationships, as our brother shared very lovely in a simple, compact form. If we aren't really walking with God, we're not having peace in our hearts. We can't carry that anywhere else. But if we're not at peace in ourselves, we're not going to be at peace with others, and it disturbs everything. So I've been very blessed in the nature of mentoring and life skill development and so on in India to help people personally to be able to come to a place of freedom and joy, because the biggest problem companies have is that people are not at peace in themselves. They have turmoil in their families, and then they carry that over into the workplace, and they are even less than half effective. And so it's very hard to find people of character. It's very hard to find quality of character. And so I emphasize a lot on character development and mentoring and encouraging and counseling through those things. Well, the title of this message is a simple question to your heart. Do you have a teachable spirit? It's very easy for us to seem very submissive when everything is going our way, the way that we really want to go. It's not hard to have a child do something they really want to do. It's when you tell the child to do something they don't want to do that you find out where the attitude is at, right? Nobody's smiling too big. Okay, so I know you're with me. I know that you've experienced that. Now, sometimes it's a spouse that says, I think we should go this way, and you say, I think we should go this way, and then, you know, there's a tug of war until somebody falls over, right? Or there's a challenge of wills. But there's a simple blessing in relationships. God Almighty, when He leads our life, He teaches us His way. And when our ways are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even our enemies at peace with us. When our life is pleasing to the Lord, when we're walking right with God, every opportunity can be a learning opportunity. And we can grow forward. We can grow for the better. And so failing or failing forward is a success. It's better to fail forward than not to get up and go and try. But there's a simple heart-searching factor, as my brother already touched on, and as we've been sharing. You know, the problem is not in merely a disunity in the church. It's an issue of a disunity in our hearts, a twisted loyalty. Because when we have a clear loyalty and we have a clear understanding of what that means, we can easily walk at peace with God. And when we're at peace with God, no matter how much turmoil is around us, we can have peace within. Let's go to the Lord, and then we'll go to the Scriptures. Lord Jesus Christ, we again acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, the head of the church, which is your body. Lord, even this blessing of the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. And we, as members of the body of Christ, are members one of another. And Lord, we're called to build one another up and to edify one another in our faith and to bear one another's burdens. And Lord, so on. There's so much of an issue of relationship in the body of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak very clearly because of the drastic days we are in, the nature of self and the nature of self-will, and how it hurts and breaks and wounds families, how it destroys families and breaks down societies, and how it destroys churches and how it destroys society in general. And we pray, Lord God, that you would give us this heart from heaven today, to search our hearts and to see where we are not responding to your Spirit. If we are not walking sensibly and sensitively to your Spirit, I pray that we would have this witness of your Spirit now, that we truly have an inner peace because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what trials or tribulations or difficulties are around us, we can face them with wisdom from on high when we are yielded to your Spirit. And I pray that you would help us to search our hearts to see where the root of this conflict lies. So often, it is the nature of this worldly wisdom, the wisdom that's from beneath, that's earthly, that's sensual, that's devilish, that's selfish, that's very proud about its own ways. I pray that you would teach us the nature of humility today, and that we would be ready to hear from heaven to answer the desperate need of our generation. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you desire to give us this heart, this teachable heart, this teachable spirit, yielded and humble. And yet, Lord, you desire us to yield ourselves individually and humbly before you as a living sacrifice. And I pray, God, you would speak clearly now as we humble ourselves before you and before your word, that we could hear clearly from heaven. Lord, there's few things we discern that are so dangerous as the powers of self-will when it comes to your work, your kingdom, your life, your desire. The ways of the flesh are death. If we live in the flesh, we are the enemies of God. And surely, Lord, that would destroy all the good that you would desire to do in and through your people who call upon your name as Lord. So again, Lord, be glorified in this place. Open our hearts as we yield ourselves to your word and as we seek you for your glory and for your kingdom. Thank you for mercy and truth that sets us free. Conviction of your Spirit, whereby we can respond and be refreshed in the narrow path of communion with God and very effective in our lives because we're walking with you. Bless this time and this fellowship as we seek your face and your work and your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, give us this teachable heart and teachable spirit that we might grow on in wisdom and in truth. We bless you and give you praise in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. You could open with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I'd just like to touch it quick, and I will give you many scriptures, but I really pray that you will be willing to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. The nature of sin is self-love. The center of sin is I. And like my brother wrote down, personal, and then to corporate, it's really a personal matter. A child not submitted is a grief to the parents, and people not submitted to leadership is a grief to leaders, and people in a nation that aren't submitted to right or good governance is a hurt to a nation corporately. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What does that mean? Led by the Spirit. Well, my brother quoted in part that the fruits of the Spirit are all of those good and lovely things from God. And if we're led by the Spirit, there'll be abundant, beautiful fruits. And God desires each individual to bring forth unique and varied fruits because God's created all of us differently. But yet God has created us for his glory, whereby he can receive the glory he deserves and desires out of our life only as we are yielded to him. Let me read for you in a different translation. This is a translation for translators. And Wycliffe had translated, we have maybe 1,200 word vocabulary, 1,800 word vocabulary for people who are translating, but it's a simplified English. All those people who let God's Spirit lead them are God's sons. All the people who let God's Spirit lead them, they are the sons of God, the children of God. Well, do we let God's Spirit lead us? Is that the first reference point when something is going against your desire? Or is the first reference point me, myself, I, what I want? I don't like this. It's very interesting. We have a very quick reference point to I, me, my first. And then later we say, oh God, you know, like, let this work out. Okay, none of you are like me. Well, that's good. I'm happy you guys got the saint face on this morning. I like that. Okay. So let these questions sink in because we really have some things to search out. When conflicts arise, when issues arise, are you really led by the Spirit? Now we'll break that down a lot more, but do you have a teachable spirit? God might send you truth in the mouth of an enemy to test you, to see if you love truth. God might correct you through an unsaved loved one. Even maybe a child, unsaved child, might rebuke you, and they might be right. Do you have a teachable spirit to receive from God no matter which way he brings correction or direction? Right? Have you worked for a sinful, secular boss, ungodly leader, and he tells you what's wrong with you? He tells you what's wrong with you. How does that make you feel? But if you're really willing to learn and you're willing to grow, God is very faithful to speak through strangers to help you grow in a relationship with him. Let's be sensitive to God. Psalms chapter 32. Psalms 32. Maybe this can be your memory verse for the week. And I pray that you would be as a well-broken horse, able and willing to be led. I don't like horses. I've usually had the rebellious type when I did have to deal with them. Coming from the gangs and streets and drugs and alcohol, we didn't have a lot of horses around. And when I met horses, they weren't broken and I didn't like them. And they didn't like me and we had a mutual understanding. They bit me and I tried to bite them ever since. Just you could never catch them. I don't like getting bit by horses. I got bucked off a big one too, you know, a huge horse, and got on top of this wild thing and it bucked me in the air really high and then double barrel kicked me in the air as I was hitting the ground. Well, I don't know if that probably saved me. Otherwise, he probably would have trampled me because I wouldn't have flew so far away from him. Well, that had been my relationship with horses. I hope and I'm sure that you guys are so much more experienced out here in the wilderness. Psalms 32, verses 8 and 9. God says this through his prophet, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's exciting news, brothers and sisters. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. How many of you want direction from God? I mean, aren't we sometimes desperately in need at the moment? Like, God, what do you want? Well, God's given very faithful promises. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Verse 9. Be not as a horse or a mule which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't be a stubborn brat. Don't be stubborn and resistant, God is saying. Let me read for you again. I thank God for his word, and I thank God that we have a simple practical application of truth. And I thank God that he loves us and desires to teach us. I will tell you the way. I will teach you where you must go. My eye will be your guide. Verse 9. Do not be like the horse or the mule. They have no understanding. They need special bits in their mouths to make them obey. They need a special bit and bridle to make them obey. God is a loving God. And he's allowed the whole world to go on with a choice. We as created beings have the freedom to be able to choose to submit to the Almighty God. Can you begin to imagine that? If we were God, we would not have done that. We would have said, I want my way, and I don't want to leave it to these rebels to choose what they want to do to destroy the good that I want to do. But God is so powerful and sovereign that even through all of man's freedom and evil, he has ordained a way of peace and life that we can walk with him. So God said of Israel, you are my chosen people, and people will look at you and see and know that you are my people. And the world will say, what nation is like this nation, which has laws and statutes so just and so holy and noble, and who hath God so nigh unto them in all that they call upon him for? God said, the world is going to look at you and see that you have my life and my wisdom and my laws and my structure, and they will see that you walk with me and that you're blessed. Well, are you going to be stubborn? Well, now let's get a little more personal. There's an infinite importance in obeying God. Psalms 25, verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. What beautiful things to have a teachable spirit. And usually, like we talk about in the training of a horse, they need to be broken first. You don't just start training and giving delicate duties to a horse that's unbroken. And you don't give so many opportunities to a rebel, it could break all the works. The Bible says the rod for the fool's back, and even many times, many stripes to the fool's back, and yet will not his foolishness depart. May we ask, are we really being sensitive to God? Are we allowing him to lead? We talked about this quiet place with God, alone with God, in secret. Do you have peace in your heart? And is that peace from God? Because many of our young people in this generation have a lot of peace with YouTube. Just relaxed, kind of, just something going on. But do you love the Bible, right? Then you have a good basis to say, is this peace from God or is it a false peace? Right? We've got a lot of good things out there everywhere. Not bashing YouTube. But we have a lot of good things everywhere. But is the baseness of your peace in a walk with God and you're sensitive to the leading of his spirit? Because then he will guide you with his peace. He'll guide you with his eye. Some of those old rowdy cowboys used to get on top of the unbroken horse with their spurs. And when that thing would buck them up, they'd be able to pull down and gouge their heels in. And it was very quick that unbroken horse would be broken quick and say, I know who's master now, I submit. Now, that was an old-fashioned way. I wouldn't want to do that. I don't think any of you have done that. But God loves us, and he's gentle to lead us along. But God allows many things to come strong against our strong will. We have some parents here. We have some children here, right? Have we experienced these things? A stubborn will sometimes? We're married. Now, don't look at your spouse. But we can experience those conflicts with each other in relationships and in the church because we're members one of another. And my, what a little bit of self can do. Now, brothers and sisters, is your walk right with God? Is your heart teachable in the presence of God? Do you have a teachable spirit? There's issues in life. There's issues in relationships. There's issues in fellowship. There's issues in society. Why is it so important? Well, first of all, because it's God that said he wants us to be in this place led by his spirit. If we are led by the spirit, we are the children of God. Beloved, do you remember that truth? God wants an intimate relationship with each one of us. And all of God's aim and all of God's dealing is to bring us into a place where we commune with him and yield to him. Because when you are broken and submitted to the Lord, you have all boldness and power and wisdom and strength. And you can stand with meekness, strong self-control, strong fortitude. And you're not moved by other things. And you can make more rational, clear judgments at the right time. Because you have a strength from within because you're yielding. The horse can do a lot of things when the rider knows what he wants it to do. If you left the horse to do his own thing, he wouldn't do many smart things. And thank God, when we are yielded to him, he leads us forward in a perfect path, and he will guide us with his eye. Now, let's search our hearts. First of all, do you have a peace with God? We have a couple blessings from God himself. We have the Holy Spirit that convicts us from the Word of God. the Holy Spirit that convicts us through situation and convicts us through communication with others. But that same Holy Spirit is the one that also gives confirmation. The Holy Spirit gives confirmation by the Word of God, as we shared in Romans chapter 8, the portion of Scripture that we read is they that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And to amplify that even more, we have the witness of His Spirit in our hearts. We have the witness of the Spirit because the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Why is this important? Many people in the church are not really born again. They go to church, they have services, but they have no walk with God in secret. They're not obedient to God, but they maybe grew up in the church. They grew up in a good system that knew how to make them look good, but they're not born again. They don't love the Word of God. They don't love prayer alone with God. And if you do not, you are lost. You can be perfect in this place and look perfect, but unless your heart is right with God, you're a lost sinner. And the Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace. We can cover it over with a bunch of false peace. We can have a lot of false things, but there will be turmoil. Beloved, is your heart right with God? The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Just like you know that you know that you know that you're hearing my voice right now, the same witness of His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Are you born again? Now, maybe some of you are backslidden. You've been walking continually in disobedience, and you don't have that peace. Let your heart be responding to the Lord that you would say, Lord, I want that teachable spirit. I want to walk in your ways. Lord, have your way and lead me. Beloved, if you are continuing in sin, the scripture says that you are of the devil. If you are continuing and continuing, and the practice of your life is enjoying sin and making excuses for it, stubbornness and sin. May the Lord have mercy on us in a generation. First of all, God loves us and died to save us. That's an amazing mercy. And He said, I want you to come to me and know me. Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. How many people are excited to memorize many verses again? If you review them, you'll keep them fresh in your memory. And some of you that are older that are not able to memorize as easy, thank God you memorize these scriptures because you've heard them so many times. So when I refresh your memory about it, it'll stick. And we're pinning together some few things. So follow that. If you're led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. You're a son of God. And it is His Spirit that bears witness. And don't be like that ox or that goat or that mule or that horse that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Don't be stubborn. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus Christ said these words. What a comfort to us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What did He say? Come unto me and learn of me. Beloved, we have an opportunity to walk with Jesus. But this is not just some sentimental thing of nice agreement to truth. I go to church, so therefore I'm following Jesus. I hear the Bible, therefore I'm following Jesus. I am still submitted to my parents, and therefore I'm following Jesus. Well, those are some outward fruits, but you can have an outward expression of some fruits without roots. Walmart is full of fruits, but no roots. And slowly they have to separate the rotten stuff, otherwise you see it and you won't buy. But God has a purging process in our lives. You know, you might sit quietly in a church like a statue and I'm okay. But then God brings along conflict. Like my brother referenced his wife a couple times, right? Like we communicate with each other. Hey, brothers, sisters, you know me and I know you. And oh, we have conflict sometimes. God brings relationships to bring things out. God says he wants us to be teachable, and he brings along teachers. And he himself is the great teacher. I pray that we would really give care one to another, because we're talking about souls. We're talking about eternity. And I thank God that I have the chance to be running a Bible training and discipleship and things like that. But the biggest issue is character development. Not merely theory, but character. Who you are in secret that carries the whole of your life and your being, your existence. What is your vision and what is your passion? What are you living for? Who are we as a people, individuals, and as a church? May God help us. But I pray that you will remember this purpose. God said that he wants us to come to him to learn of Christ, and that he will guide us in the way that we should go. You know the scripture, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And it's a way of peace, it's a way of rest, and it's a way of learning of Jesus. This is a daily walk. A father will take a child on a walk and communicate with them many things. Talk about many things. God says, I will take you. You take my yoke upon you. Let's go. Let's walk together. Let's commune together. You pour your burdens upon me, I'll take care of it. But you take my burden upon you and you learn of me. And God wants to teach us, not merely in theory, but in heart, that we would walk in obedience to him, that we would commune with him. Have you ever seen two oxen in a yoke, two horses in a yoke? What happens when you have one stubborn? If both are about the equal strength, it's not going to go very well. If it's a little one in training, well, it's going to be dragged along until it decides to kind of go along with the story. Can I ask you personally, where is your heart with the Lord? How teachable are you? Are you being sensitive to the Spirit of God teaching you? The Holy Spirit of God that comes to dwell within you as a believer. When that self-will rises and there's conflicts or resistance, are you yielding to his Spirit? Or are you just saying, I'm in charge, you yield to me, I let everything yield to me? Are you sensitive to the Spirit of God? God has a way of breaking us whereby we cry and say, oh God, I just want to obey you. Sometimes it takes some hard breaking to come to that point. But thank God when God will lead us individually to himself and with himself, we will grow fruitful and multiplying. We'll have conflicts, but when you have peace within, there's an inward strength. It's only those that are stable on the ground that can help somebody drowning. It's not the person who jumps in the water and doesn't know how to swim either. There's a blessing that comes in communion with God. It doesn't matter how deep your burden is, how deep your hole is, your struggles and your self-life. God will crucify it because that's what he said. Now, we'll go through many more scriptures, but listen again. Jesus said it, the same as the apostles communicated it. We have learned Christ. Ye have not so learned Christ. You didn't learn Christ in a negative way. You learned to commune with him, and we have the mind of Christ. Okay, I know you know these scriptures. We'll go through them again, but listen to these scriptures again. I'll read this in the Wycliffe translation for translators. Come to me, all of you who are tired. You are like people that have worked for a long time. You are like a people who have carried heavy things. Come to me and you will find a place of rest. Do what I teach you to do. Learn from me everything that is true. I am very kind and I obey God. Then you will have true life and will not be anxious. I will only ask you to do good things. I will not ask you to carry anything that's too heavy for you. And I will not ask you to do things that are too difficult. Jesus bears our burdens. He carries our sorrows. And he leads us to commune closely with him. And when the burdens seem unbearable, when the time seems too intense, when it seems like we're in a situation that we can't get out of, the scripture has promised us that he will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way out that we can escape. Beloved, God has a way. And the way of a cross, the way of the cross is a very lowly way. It's a very lowly way. It's a humble way. It's not the way of crowns and honor and glory. It's the way of a meek Lamb of God who went to the cross to obey the Father. And though he was a perfect, 100% honorable son, obedient in all things, yet though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. He showed his obedience by the sufferings he faced. Because if it was all easy, we would say, oh, it's easy for him because it was all easy. But there was a loud difficulty, struggle, suffering. And the affliction he bore showed his resolve to obey the Father and not just consult with the comforts of the flesh. I don't know if you've ever cut yourself or poked yourself with a nail, but I couldn't imagine getting all this whipping and then being crucified to the cross. But he yielded to the Father. He followed the Spirit, and he was well-pleasing. Now, he sets us free from the natural way of life, the natural lusts and passions. He allows those things to be crucified, seeing we have crucified and put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is the blessed provision that God has provided for us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. John 13, 15 says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. What an example of teaching in the practical life of Jesus Christ. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. What a power to plea on behalf of the nature of God in Christ. That though he was present, he was humbled, crumbled, broken, body bent over maybe, well whipped and beaten, stoned. And he was humbled and broken among them as a man, but carrying the power of God. And when he was absent, he rebuked them sharply for the sins that they had so openly committed. There's power in the Spirit, but men might mock us. You don't look powerful in the eyes of the world. Well, some of you young men and women, some of you older men and women, you might not look so powerful in the natural world. But beloved, I pray that you would understand what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. Because if your life is hidden with God in Christ and you seek him fervently in prayer, it doesn't matter how young or how old, you can have the power of God upon your life. And this is really what it boils down to. God created the whole world and everything in it for his glory. And he desired the good of all of his creation, and he established the law for the good of all. And his law was love. And the greatest command to the world is that we should love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the greatest sin in the world is to not love God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. So it breaks the severity of his law, the goodness of his law, the goodness intended by this law. It's broken down by our selfish want and desire. And oh, how it hurts every single person in all of his creation. And yet he says that you can come to him and be saved from sin through Jesus Christ, and that you can walk with God. And that through you, he can show the testimony of himself to the world. And that's why it's so important. Yes, if you are a rebel and unteachable in heart, you might make it to heaven if you really repent. But the tragedy is most people will go to hell without an example when the example is not found in the church, the professed believers of Jesus Christ. Because this is the nature of every child of God, that they humbly walk with him. And when they fall in sin and when attitudes arise, they allow God to deal with it and they confess it. They're not trying to hide the little secret sins. They can openly confess it and forsake it and ask for mercy and to pray one for another that we might be healed. And the great grief is not merely that rebels are going to hell in the church. The greatest grief is God is not getting the glory he deserves. That he's created all things for his pleasure and his glory and his honor, and yet we won't come back to him to worship him? What a tragedy that individuals can go to hell in rebellion, but even more sad that people will go to hell without the example of Jesus. And not only is the sinner robbing God in the church, his sinner is robbing God because he's not yielding and following, but also we're robbing each other, and we're robbing the society. because they're not seeing what is solid and what is truth and what is holy and what is noble and what is just. And wonderful things happen in dark times, because when that world grows really dark, they have no anchor point. They have no reference point. In the ocean, it seems like everything is moving. But when there's something in the distance they can see that's solid, they have a gauging point. Then they know how things are moving. The church is that solid conscience in the world and in a nation. The conscience of the nation is the church. The world might not like it at all, and the nation might not like it at all, but we are a bright and shining light. And a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, beloved, when you walk in obedience to God and you are allowing Him to change you into Christ's likeness, He shines through you and He provokes others to draw near to Him also in a sweetness of intimacy. These are no new truths. We know these things very well, that Jesus died to save us from sin and make us His children and to teach us about His life and His ways and to change us that we might walk in it. But oh, how easy it is to be selfish when your prayer life is really weak for a week or a month. Oh, we shall ask your husband or wife. We could ask the church leaders, right? How many times do we make a stink because we're just not walking in the Spirit? How many times family members hurt each other because they're not walking in the Spirit? Quickly, irritability and anger and frustration and lack of peace just pours out everywhere. Okay, yes, we've all been guilty there. But isn't that a gauge to say, oh God, my heart is not in that place that it needs to be, and I need to get back to serious, honest, humble fellowship with you in the Word, to say, God, let this teachable spirit be in me. Let me be led by your Spirit. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, is what the Scripture says. Let it be in you. Let this mind be in you of Christ Himself. Beloved, there's no life, there's no power, there's no fruitfulness unless you're walking with Him. Amen. Familiar terms, but very practical to walk with God. How did you walk with God yesterday? Did you fail? Where did you fail? Will you walk with God tomorrow? What would that look like? What might be different in the way you think, in the way you start your day, in the way you conduct yourself, in the way you drive, in the way you communicate with people, in the way you, in everything you do? How might things change if you really walk with Jesus tomorrow, today? Because I'll tell you, when your heart's really at rest and right with God and His Spirit bears witness with you that you are walking uprightly and obedient, you really bear very light burdens of this world. These light things can be shaken off. May Jesus help us to be sensitive. Because, oh, what needless griefs we bear. Because we're just selfish. Well, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 said, Jesus Christ Himself, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto are you called. You're called to this. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. How many of us like to suffer? It's not in our nature unless we really know why we're suffering. Well, your submission is tested in difficulty. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Let me read for you another few words. Another word that is associated with having a teachable heart, teachable spirit. Submitted. The word submit. That's not a swear word. Okay? It's not a punishment. God wants us to submit to Him. A responsibility, a hierarchy, a power, a structure, a strength, a refreshing. I'm grateful when I could say, well, I have leaders over me. When other people come to abuse me and attack me, I say, well, you could talk to my leaders. And like, they know me very well, and they will filter everything to me and tell me detailed what I should do or change or anything. If you think that everything needs to change in my life, just talk to my brothers. Amen? So right? If you guys have any complaints about me or my life or my preaching, well, then talk to our brothers Gideon and Roman. Okay, they'll straighten me out. There's some blessing when you're in submission. And God has commanded it. But if you're not walking in submission to the Spirit, you're not going to submit outwardly either. But if you're in submission to the Spirit, when you approach a situation that you don't know how to handle, and it might be a disobedience to the law or government, you will pray fervently about it and say, God, the government is telling us this, but we believe that you would lead in a different way. God, we want an answer from on high. We want a witness of the Spirit. We want a witness of the Word of God. We want a witness of the brotherhood that we're not just being selfish. And do you know your children will respect you and say, wow, you're not just a rebel. You always tell us, submit, submit, submit. But then when the opportunity arises for you to choose to submit, you don't even think twice. You're like, nope, let's throw it off. There's something of an example of submission. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Paul says, you follow us as an example, and also those who are laboring and teaching and preaching these truths that you've heard from us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Like my brother said, is this worth jeopardizing a relationship over? We're submitting one to another in the fear of God. Now, action might need to be taken, but we are submitting one to another, and we're not considering my want, my way, my will, or nothing else. If we have a crash of will, we pray about it, and we need this blessing. Hello again, I said. We need the power of God in prayer. We need to pray fervently about decisions. Can I ask you, do you know Jesus? Are you saved? In Hindi, that means, please give me a yes or no answer. That helps people to get a little bit more clear. If you love Jesus Christ, you will be a person of prayer. Amen. How is your prayer life? I always preach on that because it's a practical evidence of where you're at. You'll judge and gauge your own spiritual love for the Lord at this moment on how you've really enjoyed the Lord in prayer or how you've just neglected Him casually. Let's search our hearts and get right, okay? Now we're submitting to the Spirit. We're seeking Him fervently in prayer and the Word. And then, by the grace of God, we can submit one to another in the fear of God. Because we're walking in the fear of God. And remember, those that walk in the fear of God, they are led by God. Nothing more essential in my life. If I wasn't led by the Spirit, I'd be dead by now. I guarantee you. We have people that would love to kill us just near us. If you're not led by the Spirit, well, you might have some troubles here and there. You know, you're led by the flesh. You might get a speeding ticket. Well, amen. And there's many other things that you might face, but it could be life or death. But people might go to hell because you weren't walking in the Spirit. You need to be ready to just love Jesus and walk in obedience to Him. Amen. Because you are all messengers of God, and you can carry the truth of God that can set men free. You have the keys to their prison cells because you know the Jesus who has all power in heaven and earth. Do you walk with Him in fear? Are you submitted to Him? Are you yielded to Him? If so, you can submit to each other. Yielding for the greater good. When we have decisions to be made or situations that arise, how fervently do we pray together over those issues? Rarely does a church split with the blessing of God. But there are places that pray fervently and seek the face of God, and they bless each other often. There's some guidance of the Spirit, and both are fruitful and multiplying and blessed. But they kept Christ central, and they prayed fervently for God's practical wisdom. Beloved, we are all one in Christ. And we ought not act like we have no need of you, or we have no need of you, or I'm right and you're wrong and let's fight and I win. We don't make up the rules, do we? Sometimes you play with some children and they make up the rules and they win every time. Well, with God, we're submitted to His rules and He's the winner. In the end, we might cheat ourselves, but He's the winner and His ways are perfect. And His ways are peace. And pleasantness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you. It means spiritual leadership. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Peter wrote this. Peter got killed by the government. Peter wrote this. Peter got killed by the government. And he wrote, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as those that are sent by him. Okay, I didn't write it. Just in case I cause conflict Wednesday night when I shared of my testimony and so on. But there's something of submission that's tested when we're challenged. My, how people say, I just don't want to do it because I just don't want to do it. And we're just ready to fight. Well, let God search our hearts. May we have humility and wisdom. And may we pray fervently that the world and the church and our friends and our family will know that we take God seriously. So when we say, you know, like, submit to me as I submit to God, then we're like, you know, but government has nothing to do with me. Okay, now government puts some mandates on us, and we got to pray about that one. That's a bit nerve-wracking. Okay, let's pray, brothers and sisters. And God will give practical guidance. And there's times that we just don't obey, right? Because in India, it's against the law to preach. In India, it's against the law to do anything. It's against the law to be a Christian. So if they catch you singing on your roof, the police will come and beat you and take you to jail. So if you don't hear from me, I might be in jail ministry. And it won't be comfortable, I'm sure, but God's faithful. And I pray that you would take things very seriously because that's exactly what God wants from us. A life that's hidden with God in Christ, that he can take us and do anything with us, and we will still not lose our joy, right? No matter how badly our bodies might be beaten, we can have peace within. We have a teachable spirit, and we're led by his eye. God has an opportunity, as Isaiah said, a strong hand. The Lord moved in among the nations with a strong hand. Sometimes he takes his people with a strong hand of providence and puts us in places we never would have wanted to go, but he uses it to teach us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Do you hear the blessing on the teachable spirit? The willingness to be corrected and guided. Did you hear that? Okay. The willingness to be corrected and guided. A humble spirit. I used to have fun with the children, even some children here. Now you guys probably forgot because you were too young, but you used to come to me and say, Brother Don, how is your prayer life? Probably too young, but I appreciate that. I'm not afraid of a little 10-year-old asking me, so Brother Don, how is your prayer life? I return the same. You know, I'm doing good now. How are you? Brothers, we need to hold one another accountable. How about practical love? Can your children tell you, Dad, I don't think that was very loving? Whoa, you'd be like, talking to me? Right? I mean, okay, I'm happy you guys all look like angels. Well, God bless you if you have that humble, teachable spirit. How often do we fail there? Yeah, we do. But praise God when we have a practical love that's proved by being challenged. Our love looks pure. Our submission looks solid. Our cross looks clearly on our back until the time that flesh says one thing and the spirit says something different. And where there's a why in the road, do you consult with God or the flesh? When there's a choice to be made, when situations arise, when somebody says something that makes you feel uncomfortable, you're like, who are you to talk to me like that? You know, I know the faults in your life. Don't talk to me like that. Has that ever happened to you? Well, beloved, I would say, hey, do you think there's anything in my life you think that needs to change? And I thank God that many people could speak many things. and I'm willing to change. Now, I've done that many times with many of my enemies, very many enemies. And they would tell me for 2 or 3 hours, and I just try to keep emotions out of it, try to take notes, let them abuse, and then just give an answer and say, okay, I've heard this, 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 I'll pray about this, and okay, I disagree with that, that was wrong, this is a situation, something misunderstood, so here's what I understood, these things I'll pray about. Now, I challenge you to do that. Ask your enemy if they think there's anything in your life that needs to change to make you more pleasing in the sight of God. Your sinful, secular boss, ask him, hey, sir, I'm praying, and I think there's some things that God is doing in my heart. Do you think there's anything that I can do to be a better Christian, or to work more faithfully or honorably, or to serve you more wholeheartedly? He'll be blown away. He probably wouldn't even have a clue on what to answer. He just said, oh, you're doing a good job. Just keep it up. You're like, woo, wow, thank God. Well, how often is it that we're really walking right? May the Lord find in us a teachable spirit. And may we maintain that teachable spirit. May we maintain a humble heart with God. Because thank God, as the flames of fire, we can all be knit together in one, because we are one body, we are one bread to be broken. We are one life to be lived. We're to strive and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, because there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. And self-will is only tested when it's something contrary to self. I pray that your default will not just be a casual yielding to the flesh because it pleases me, but that you would weigh and count the cost and say, God, am I really obeying from the heart? There's a hymn that says, quiet, Lord, my froward heart, make me teachable and mild, upright, simple, free from art. Make me as a weaned child, from distrust and envy free, pleased with all that pleases thee. Isaac Watts wrote this, by the way. What thou shalt today provide, Lord, me as thy child receive. What tomorrow may betide, calmly to thy wisdom lead. 'Tis enough that thou wilt care, why should I the burden bear? As a little child relies on a care beyond his own, knows he's neither strong nor wise, fears to stir or step alone. Let me thus with thee abide, and as my father guard and guide. Thus preserved from Satan's wiles, safe from dangers, free from fears, may I live upon thy smiles. Till the promised hour appear, when the sons of God shall prove all their father's boundless love. I pray that we would be teachable in heart, that we would be yielded in spirit, and that we would be a blessing to one another, that we would be a blessing in our society, that we would be a blessing to the heart of God. Because the little acts of obedience here on this side of eternity will abound and rebound forever and ever and ever and ever to the glory of God. Your obedience today is going to echo forever and ever and ever and ever and ever for the glory of God. All that Jesus did in you today, he will get glory forever and ever and ever and ever throughout all ages. That's just beyond our comprehension. But thank God for it. Thank God that we can have an encouragement that our little life and our suffering in faithfulness will bless the heart of God forever and ever. Christ in us, shining through us, will bless the heart of the Father forever and ever and ever and ever. And our life is but for a moment. It's like a vapor. It's here and it's gone. May we not lose heart in the sweetness of simplicity, a teachable spirit, humble. We sing this song often, is thy heart right with God, washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God? Hast thou dominion over self and over sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God, washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God? Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Beloved, is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Beloved, let's give an account now while there's time. Let's change now while there's time. Let us not rob God of the glory he can get out of our lives. Let's not hurt one another anymore in this matter. Let it be an opportunity when we feel pain to know that self is nigh, flesh is nigh. Only living people feel pain. If we feel some pain and something arise and bring disturbance, we better bring it to the Lord first and say, God, is there something wrong with me? I don't know what and why, but something's just not settling right. Let it be settled in your heart before you go to talk it out with somebody else, to fight it out or to stand your ground and tell people how they're wrong and so on. And thank God, one man with God is a majority. And I don't fear frowns or friends, frown or smile, a foe or friend. By the grace of God, none of these things move me. By the grace of God, nothing will if I stay humble, right? If I'm proud, then I'll say, oh, they're not smiling at me. They must hate me today. Maybe I have to change my message or my life. Well, thank God I've known some of you for more than 10, 12 years or so. Thank God for it. Thank God for friends, and thank God that he can keep us strong. I like to see older people who have never given up conviction, who have never given up a teachable spirit, to be humble with God and yet long in consistence. There's great blessing in an ox that's learned the way or the horse that's learned the path, and they teach the others also. There's just a blessing when there's age and stability and wisdom, and I pray that none of you would grow weary in well-doing, because every age has people younger. But there will be a time when we'll stand with God, and I pray that we would have an example that others could follow, that we could say, follow me as I follow Christ, and that it would be the marks of the cross that we would glory in. Paul said, I don't glory in my flesh, but I even glory in my infirmities. I glory in my sufferings because in my weakness he is made strong. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for this place and this time, and I thank you for the eternal purpose you have for each one of our lives. And I pray, Lord God, that our hearts will be yielded to you right now as our Lord and Master, and that you would lead us forward for your glory, that we would sense your Spirit speaking and leading, and that we would just be sensitive and tender now to apologize or communicate in a way that's yielded to God, that might bless others also, that we might have hurt in our stubbornness, our pride, our want, our way. Oh God, please heal the church of the living God, the testimony, God, that we hold as being the servants of God, people together as one body. Lord Jesus, we beg you to revive that vision again. Revive that unity again. Revive that humility again, whereby we can march as one army to one drumbeat, because we serve the true and living God, and we're not wavering. We're not compromising, and it's evident because it's consistent in secret. Where neither man nor devil can see, but Lord, you search the hearts. We're consistent in the secret place alone with God. We love the word of God. We love prayer, and our heart is rooted there. We are anchored that though we walk through this world of tossing winds and waves, we have stability with Jesus, and we can communicate rightly to one another, though our emotions might be high. There's a grace from heaven whereby we can conduct ourselves in a Christ-like way, no matter how much we're suffering or struggling. And I pray that you would revive us in that, God, because we know the afflictions are going to increase. Difficulty and trial will abound. But yet, Lord God, you said in the last days, men will be selfish and proud and lovers of their own selves and covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers and unteachable, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would resist and run from such, that we would have a humble heart before you, willing to learn of you and walk in your ways, that the church of the living God might be revived and healed, that we would have the testimony of Jesus living in us and through us, that it wouldn't just be some few things we fight about, but they know we weep for their sins the same as we weep for our own, that we make no compromising stands in our own hearts nor without. We will fight within and without. And by the grace of God, we take a stand for truth. We lift our hearts and hands and voices loud because it's the living God we stand for. And we urge all men everywhere to repent and to turn from their sins as we turn from ours. We won't be hypocrites, but Lord, we will yield ourselves before you to be led by your eye, to be led by your Spirit, and to be blessed in your presence. That we could say to the world, follow us as we follow Christ, and he has the answer, and we've experienced it, and yet we are continually growing in his likeness, and we will not be turned back for friend or foe. because the Lord alone is worthy and he's the Lord of our life. God, I pray that we wouldn't take these words lightly, that we would be teachable, that you would truly be our Lord, and that you would be exalted in our lives by life or by death. And we give you thanks and praise for this fellowship time. And Lord, even for the fellowship we have, even coming around the world, we just bless you for all of your provision in the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.